We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're talking high stakes Dynasty League cutdowns on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Curtis, Patrick, and Dave Cabin, and we're here to talk Dynasty League cutdowns, particularly in the high-stakes Dynasty format over at FFPC. March 31st, Dave, is a huge date on the high-stakes Dynasty calendar every year because it's when you got to cut your team down to 16 players. And there's various formats that you can play over at FFPC, including our RotoViz Triflex Dynasty Leagues, which is the best way to play Dynasty. Well over $1 million worth of Dynasty Leagues have been created over the last couple of years there, Dave. But we've got to cut down to 16. Some leagues, like the old school FFPC leagues, are cutting from 20 players down to 16. The best ball formats and our RotoViz formats, they got to cut down from 26 to 16. And, you know, that can be tough. But one thing that's fun about it is it creates a lot of trade opportunities because teams that are, you know, really well stocked, they don't want to just throw those good players back into the free agency pool for the rookie and free agent draft. So they're looking to acquire future picks. Maybe you can buy some players at a relative discount to where you could get them during the season. So there's that whole level of strategy. And then, you know, who do you want to sell, you know, from your team? Hopefully you're in a position of strength, but if you're not, you can play the other side of it. Well, Dave and I both play a lot of Dynasty over on FFPC. Sean and I are even in the Dynasty Pros versus Joes format over there. So we thought it would be useful, helpful, and good radio for us to take one of my teams, one of Dave's teams, and, you know, a couple of the co-owned teams here from the site and talk about where we're at in the cutdown process because some of these squads are further along than others. And, you know, who's on the cut line? Who should be traded over the next couple of days? You know, it should be good. So, Dave, I think we're going to start with one of your squads here. Why don't you give us a drop and let's get into it.
Yes, sir. All right.
So, Dave, you've got this $250 RotoViz Triflex squad, and you still got 22 players, man. You haven't trimmed the branches at all. We got to talk about six players from this squad. Why don't you run down, just kind of give us like 90 seconds on where this roster is, where you hope it will be, you know, a year from now. And then once we understand your goals, let's talk about how to handle these cuts.
Sure. So this roster is with a team that I would now is kind of in a state of flux where I think I need to kind of rework this. Made a couple of moves that didn't pan out over the last couple of years, and it's kind of in disarray in my opinion right now. So as a result, I think what I'm looking for, my goal for the next year would just be to secure a couple of anchor pieces that I can use on this team moving forward, kind of reshape it around. I will now just run through some of the names here at quarterback, and keep in mind it's a tri-flex league. So this was one of the things that really hurt me. My quarterbacks are Kirk Cousins and Bailey Zappe. So obviously there's some work to do there at quarterback. Tried to make some moves already to address that. Haven't been able to secure any trade deals. At running back, it's also pretty ugly. You got Tyler Allgeier, Kyle Juszczyk, who had to come in just to try to get some points. Kareem Hunt, yeah. Gus Edwards, Dwayne McBride, Ramondre Stevenson. At wide receiver, there are a couple of players on here, but you know, some who are going to be aging out. You got Curtis Samuel, Devontae Parker, Stephon Diggs, Treylon Burks, Terry McLaurin, Justin Jefferson, Kayshon Boutte, Quentin Johnston, Marvin Mims, A.T. Perry, Rashee Rice. And then at tight end, you got Durham Smythe, Dawson Knox, and Dalton Kincaid. So I think at a high level, the pieces that I'm going to be trying to carry going forward, Curtis, is kind of anchors. Hopefully Dalton Kincaid can live up to what it looks like he's going to do now. You got Rashee Rice at wide receiver, Justin Jefferson at wide receiver. I would say that those are kind of my like main three players moving forward.
Yeah, this squad's not as far as I, you know, you're kind of being hard on yourself. This team did get away from you a little bit. And I remember when we were talking about your startup here, with this squad, you did go zero RB here. And I think you've ended up with a roster that, I mean, it can be made over within the context of a year. And I mean, I really think you could actually compete this year because we should mention that you own the 1-2 and right. The rookie draft. You don't have your second, but you have all of your future picks and you have every pick this year except for your second. So, you know, just high level strategy. I mean, the two things that I would say is you've got to trade Stephon Diggs away. Okay. Yep. I think it makes sense to, you know, shed some of those years. Maybe you trade him for a young running back that could ascend or at least just trade him for, you know, maybe tear down to a younger receiver that you hope would break out and maybe try to get that second round pick back.
Yep.
The other thing that you could do It's hard to recommend people trading out of the 1-2 just because the 1-2 probably means your pick of any player not named Caleb Williams. But we've talked a lot about how deep this rookie class is, in particular being in the top 7. A lot of people drawing a line there. Many other people drawing a line in the top 8. If you could trade back towards the, if you could trade back within that same tier and pick up additional draft capital, you can do enough damage here. To agreed. Where you could add a rookie quarterback and another rookie positional player. And you're just not too far off. I mean, I think if these trades are done properly, at minimum, the team is in way better shape going into next year. And if things go right with your rookie picks and the trades and the moves off of those trades, I mean, you could be competitive because you do have Justin Jefferson and you have Terry McLaurin and you have Rashee Rice and you have Dalton Kincaid, all those players playing at or above where they've been before. That does serve as a great anchor. And I should remind everyone again, this is a tri-flex basketball dynasty, right. Not a that's lineup.
Right. Exactly. League. Yeah.
And so some of these, I mean, you have Quentin Johnson. What if he were to emerge under new leadership, Keenan Allen out of there, Mike Williams out of there. I mean, there's some things that we can talk about from even some of the players that are on your roster that have underperformed that could take a step forward. Marvin Mims now looking like he's got a clear path to being at least the wide receiver 2 in Denver, if not the 1, after they, you know, rid themselves of Jerry Jeudy. So, you know, there's some cause for some optimism here. Now, the first thing we've got to do is talk about who are the automatic cuts that you can at least just, you know, set yourself on a path by getting rid of them. And then we've got to get your trade bait updated here. You got to send a message out to the league that you're open for business. Because you need to know in the next 72 hours or so what trades you can get done so you can lock in those final cuts by Sunday. But you've got a roster that's ripe for moves, man. So why don't you tell me who are the automatic cuts in your mind, and I'll just tell you if I agree.
Sure. So Zappy, I would say automatic. You want me to rapid them off and then you'll comment or as we go?
Yeah, you can rapid through them.
So probably Zappy. I think Juszczyk could get cut right off. As I continue looking along, probably Durham Smythe. I don't want to say it, but McBride didn't really show much last year, so he could probably go. At wide receiver, I don't know if there's any 100% cuts. I still want to try to hold out hope for Kayshon. But all right, I think we've gone through my automatic. As you can see, I might have trouble doing away with some of these guys from an auto perspective. But
yeah, it's tough because I mean, I remember in the startup and then in the subsequent rookie drafts over the last 2 years, as you build out this team, it's tough because you want some of these players to perform. But getting down to 16, I mean, 12 rosters, 16 players each, no kickers or defenses. That means only 192 players are rostered going into the rookie draft.
Yep.
And you've got a handful of players that are definitely outside the dynasty top 200 at this point.
Yep.
So I would say, yeah, Smythe is gone. Juszczyk's gone. Kareem Hunt's gone. Dwayne McBride's gone. There's four for sure. Beyond that, Devontae Parker's gone. That's five. And then you got dealer's choice. You can look at, you know, Zappe as the sixth. You could look at potentially Kayshon Booty as the sixth. So I think that's where you really start getting into, you know, where do you want to go? Dave, I'm going to step away for a second because I've got an on-the-air nosebleed.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Looking pretty rugged. So he is literally bleeding from the nose. It's also my understanding that Curtis's house right now, there's some flu action going around. So there you have it. Anyway, as far as this lineup goes, or this roster goes, I think that the other players that I'd probably consider, as I look at it, yeah, I think it's probably Booty, Smythe, then Zappe probably ends up at the sixth spot there. I think things that you could kind of find some interest in here as I start to think about trades that I could make. Diggs definitely looks like a piece that would be interesting to unload at this point. I do have some younger wide receivers that are kind of interesting. As a result of that, like Curtis said, I'm probably looking at using the picks that I have to go ahead and try and make a move. Okay, so Curtis just got back. So obviously we mentioned going on my trade bait. You're going to have Diggs going up. I think that I will shop around the 102. In terms of other names that I had on this roster, Curtis, that could bring back some value now, as far as the older type of players go, I don't know if I'm really seeing anybody stand at a lot. Maybe Stevenson, you try to shop somehow, but I kind of wonder about Kirk Cousins, if there's anything I could get from him from the right team right now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, this just gets really tricky, man. Terry McLaurin's 29 already. So I think McLaurin is a player where you could maybe get a late first, or a pair of seconds. If you could get a pair of like top half second round picks, I think that would be fair. Diggs, I would hold out for a late first. And then, you know, Cousins, I think putting Cousins on your trade bait won't really yield much, but if you go in and look at the other squads in the league and you suggestively shop him, so you're going to need to go propose some trades too. And actually you may have to do that with Diggs and McLaurin as well, because while they're solid names, they're not, you know, it's not like somebody's putting CeeDee Lamb on trade bait, right?
Right.
So you're going to have to go in and find out like, okay, which like middling team would think that they're a contender if they picked up one of these three guys, then look at their, you know, look at their rookie draft picks and, you know, see where you can go from there. So that'll be fun. We can take a look at that together. But I think we definitely got at least 5 or 6 cuts out of the way and a plan for the next couple of days.
Nice.
Let's go into the next squad here. I want to talk about, this is actually one of my squads, and I've done a lot of my cutdowns and I've already got my trade, or actually this is our co-owned squad here, Dave, sorry for the podcast. We've already done a lot of the cutdowns, in our co-owned podcast leagues, but this is one where we've got 17 players and there's no clear cut player left. And so I think a lot of listeners are going to be in that type of scenario as well. What do you do when the team gets low on cut candidates, and what's our bailout strategy going to be? So this is a squad that, you know, won the title, I think the last 2 years in a row, Dave. I don't think we've been dethroned since the startup here. And now we're entering an off season where we don't have a first or second round pick, but the team is still pretty strong. It is getting older at wide receiver and tight end, but I think there might still be enough left in the tank to run it back one more time. It doesn't make sense for us to sell these veterans at a discount right now. If we did want to kind of break apart this roster and do a rebuild on the fly, you know, perpetual championship window type of thing, we wouldn't want to sell these types of players until like August and then see what can happen. So the roster rundown here, it is again a Rotoviz Triflex Dynasty League with a super flex setup here at quarterback. So we've got Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. Yes, we did win the title despite that being our quarterbacks last year. That's how strong this team was. Derrick Henry, James Cook, Kyren Williams, Tyler Algier, and Jaylen Warren at running back. At wide receiver, Josh Downs, DeAndre Hopkins, George Pickens, Tyler Boyd, Tyreek Hill, Mike Williams, Rondale Moore, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, and then Travis Kelce at tight end. So that's 17 players for those of you that were, you know, counting on your fingers and toes. We've only got one cut left. And this is tricky, Dave, because I like all the players that are on the roster at this point. There's nobody that I want to cut. And the players that we could get value for at this point, you know, of the season are going to be the younger elite players. So we would have to go, you know, trade Kyren Williams, or we'd have to maybe trade George Pickens. Maybe we could get top value for Tyreek Hill, but a lot of these other players are a little bit older and we're going to have to take discounts that we're just not willing to take because it's not worth giving up, you know, all those fantasy points. I think we could potentially three-peat with this squad. So the candidates that if we're forced to make a cut, let's look at that scenario first. If we're forced to make a cut, it's either, I think it's either Tyler Boyd or Rondale Moore. And that's only because we are so deep at wide receiver and we can't really afford to make the cut at running back, owning just 5 of them. Even though they're pretty strong, we only have 5. We do have 9 wide receivers. So let's talk about Moore and Boyd. And where would you go if we were forced to make a cut? Which one of those guys would you cut loose?
Yeah. So as I looked through the wide receiver core, which was the natural place to start, like you said, they were the two names that did stand out to me. And I think where I go with this to break the tie is Rondale Moore, right? We could tell ourselves a story that with his newfound situation, he could have a couple of seasons of solid production for us. Boyd, though I think he's still a useful player for NFL teams, I think his days of the fantasy production that we could expect, you're not going to have any expectation that it's going to increase. In fact, it will very likely decrease. As a result of that, I would be more interested in keeping Rondale Moore around. Boyd kind of feels like he's approaching the point where he falls to the waiver wire. Maybe there's him or a similar type of player available at some point during the season. So I'd feel more comfortable letting him go than Rondale Moore. You're muted. I will say, though, historically, Tyler Boyd, one of my favorite players.
Yeah, and this is where the 4D chess comes into it, right? Because the veterans get thrown back into the rookie draft, and we don't have a first or second round pick. We have all of our picks rounds 3 through 10. In traditional dynasty, no doubt about it, would keep Rondale Moore. And I think I would lean that way anyway. Mm-hmm. But Tyler Boyd's a free agent. And the two teams that he, there's three teams that he's linked to at this point in the process, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the New York Jets. In particular, the Kansas City Chiefs and New York Jets would be pretty intriguing. If he moves from Joe Burrow over to Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, and you know, with the Jets, yeah, they've got Garrett Wilson. They do have Mike Williams coming in. Tyler Boyd would be, you know, potentially that third guy playing like a Randall Cobb type role for Rodgers, probably taking all the slot work. And then in Kansas City, even if he wasn't going to be the number one or the number two, we saw like even just 2 years ago, I think it was, maybe it was 3 years ago now, it's all kind of all running together. The first season that Juju was in Kansas City, he wasn't like a world beater, but he was just like, he was a back end wide receiver too, just on like a lot of inefficient volume. And so that's just where it gets tricky. I think if Tyler Boyd's name was in the rookie and veteran draft, he would get drafted before Rondale Moore.
That's interesting. Okay.
And so if we were forced to make a cut here, like I'm looking at our picks here, we've got the 3-6, the 4-2, the 5-11. I mean, I think at that 4-2 spot, we could probably get Rondale Moore. And if maybe we could get either one of those players there potentially, but Rondale Moore's a player that has never panned out yet in a way that has been exciting. And so I think he'll last later in the rookie and free agent draft than Tyler Boyd. So that's where it gets nuanced in the FFPC. And I think I've talked myself into, if we're making a cut here, I would want to cut Rondale Moore. Now, I don't want to cut anybody. So I think what we should do is we should try to move, because this is a best ball league. Yep. We should try to probably go move Tyler Boyd. Yep. That would be the most preferable thing. But there's other names on here that we could move that might be more attractive. Maybe we could get, with Mike Williams signing with the New York Jets, maybe we could pair Williams with our 3-6 and get into the bottom half of the second round for our first pick or something like that.
Yep.
So those are the deals that kind of come to mind. But I'm glad we're aligned on the two names. After talking through that at all, does it change your mind? Are you still on the side of wanting to cut Boyd? Because we might have to talk more in post.
I don't think that, to be honest, I it's one of those things that I could go back and forth on, but I think at the end of the day, it's really not super material. So I'm open to either.
Yeah.
I do think, though, the thing that it highlights is how sometimes it's easy to think about later round rookie picks is not really carrying much value. But this is a case when it comes time to cut down that it's nice to have spots on your roster taken by picks, because you don't have to cut them and you can take them into the draft and evaluate after it when you have this full group of players, you know, versus when you have spots on the roster that are guys that you have to cut, then you've lost all the value.
Yeah. All right, we got one more squad to cut up for this episode, and I think we'll take a look at Sean and I's pros versus Joe's squad over at FFPC. Now, this is a team that's been in the hunt every single year, and we just get our knees taken out from under us with injury every single year. A slippery slope began at quarterback a couple of years ago. The rest of the roster has been pretty sterling. And it just has not materialized. It's just a heartbreak every single year. So we're going into this draft. You know, we were a first round playoff exit last year. So ninth pick in each round. We don't own our first. We do have the 2-1, however, and the 2-9. So we have 2 second round picks. And then this is not a Rotoviz Triflex. This is a traditional FFPC Superflex best ball or roster league rather. And so it is a 7-round. Rookie draft. We will also have to cut down to 16. This has kicker and defense in it. And we currently have 21 rostered. So I'm going to run down through. There's some easy candidates here, but I'm curious to get an outside observer opinion here from you, Dave, before I, you know, propose to Sean, you know, what I think we should do.
Yep.
At quarterback, Daniel Jones was the quarterback anchor of this team. Last year, and we still managed to make the playoffs. Again, it speaks to the quality of the team. We also had Sammy Howell on this team, tearing it up for us last year. Jacoby Brissett, Mason Rudolph, and Tyrod Taylor. So a whole lot of nothing probably at quarterback. And so that's something we got to think about. Running back looks pretty great, especially post-free agency with Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and James Cook.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And again, this is a lineup league. At wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, Davante Adams, DJ Moore. That is the trio that is getting it down. And then we have some interesting depth to talk about on this squad. We have Romeo Doubs, Jalin Hyatt, Marvin Mims, Wandale Robinson, and Brandon Cooks. At tight end, we've got Michael Mayer, who we drafted in last year's rookie draft, followed by Tyler Higbee and Kylan Granson, and then Justin Tucker at kicker and Pittsburgh team defense. So off of the top of my head here, Dave, we can cut Kylan Granson at this point. He was like we were just protecting him in case of, you know, right, injury and things like that last year. And Mayer wasn't playable early in the year. So he's number one off the top. If, you know, we could cut team defense, get Pittsburgh out of there if we had to. I don't want to cut Justin Tucker if I don't have to. But we've got, I think, quarterback, there's plenty of opportunity here. So Mason Rudolph is at best the backup in Tennessee behind Will Levis. We'll cut Mason Rudolph. We'll probably cut Tyrod Taylor there as well. I think we have to roll into the rookie draft, though, keeping Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. I think those two both have an outside shot to compete for snaps in New England and Seattle. Mm-hmm. And we're banking on Daniel Jones taking snaps for the Giants this year. So with Granson, Tyrod, and Mason Rudolph, that's three. It gets us down to 18. Pittsburgh would get us down to 17 if we wanted to go that route. But as I look at these wide receivers, it's tough. I think Brandon Cooks, of the names that we've got there, just because he's long in the tooth, yep, and he wasn't really startable in a lineup league last year, he would get us to 16 if we wanted to cut Pittsburgh team defense. If we did not, it gets a little trickier because now you're talking about cutting one of Wandale Robinson, Jalin Hyatt, Marvin Mims, Romeo Doubs, and those are all players that I think could take another step forward. If Green Bay, if everyone's healthy there this season, does Doubs challenge Watson as kind of the primary outside receiver? Jaden Reed's looked pretty good in his role and serves a different purpose there. Well, and then they've also got, you know, some other guys there. Dontavian Wicks comes to mind. So he's still kind of in the mix. I probably would cut him before Jalin Hyatt, just because the Giants offense was in such disarray last year. We still don't really know how that wide receiver room is going to pan out. Sean and I are both still fairly high on Wandale Robinson. He wouldn't really enter the cut situation for us. And Marvin Mims, we already talked about with one of the other squads, figures to have a lot more snaps. So it really just comes down to, do we want to cut Pittsburgh team defense and make it easy? Or do we want to keep Pittsburgh team defense and, you know, cut one of those wide receivers? So I think Sean's probably going to want to cut the team defense. I might argue against that just because, you know, they were a relative strength of our lineup last year, and we can probably get some receivers maybe even in the third, fourth, fifth round that might approximate, you know, what we're getting. I guess if we were going to cut Doubs or Jalin Hyatt, I guess we could probably get a guy equivalent to that later on in the rookie draft. How do you see this one, Dave? Would you play it any different?
Well, I think that I would not be interested in cutting Doubs, right? So I'd rather get rid of the Steelers than a player like Doubs. That said, I actually would probably be more open to letting go of Robinson than you guys. So I might go there. Okay. I think especially because you have the piece there in Daniel Jones. Then you have two of the wide receivers. And I mean, I know we might get to some different looks there, but I don't know. Like, if I'm forced to find some way to get to jettison something off of this team, I think I'm going to do it by removing a piece that's kind of, you know, the, one of the three related pieces.
Yeah, as you talk through that, I'm not happy about our investment level in the New York Giants offense. that's all. And they've been linked heavily to, you know, top 10 pick wide receiver and also quarterback.
Yep.
Although many are arguing that might be smokescreen. So, yeah. So, you know, hopefully this exercise gets your wheels turning for your dynasty leagues. It's still applicable. Even if, you know, you're listening to this thing, you're like, I haven't played on the FFPC yet. You know, I'm playing in a deeper dynasty league, keeping 30. You still can take a lot of these principles and apply it to looking at your roster, looking at the bottom parts of it. You've got to churn the underbelly of your dynasty rosters if you want to be in the hunt every year. I mean, spots 25 through 30 in a keep 30 league are really important. And if you're not churning, somebody else in your league probably is. And every couple of years is getting a star because of the activity level there. You can also use this time period of rookie evaluation where there's not really any new information coming out other than just whatever, you know, teams want the media to leak for them. It's a time where trades can really start happening between now and the beginning of the NFL draft. So at worst, update your trade bait. That's not really a great sound strategy to get a lot of activity going in your leagues. A better strategy is to do what I encouraged Dave to do earlier in this episode. You know, pick a team per night, you know, every night this next week and open up your league, go to the rosters page, look at all the rosters laid out next to each other and see how the pieces of your team and your picks fit in with some of the other teams. Really hone in on one or two teams that make good sense as trade partners, figure out the players on your team that they would like to acquire, and then start building some deals. Until next time on RotoViz Radio, it's been Curtis and Dave.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214 and make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.